Good morning. So I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I want to get in the Word. Yeah, I know what you were thinking. Ha! I'm hungry. Philippians chapter 1. Can't wait. God's going to teach us. He's going to fill us with His Word. Philippians 1, we're going to be looking at chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. Lord willing, 6 verses. We'll give it a try. See how that works. But, of course, we might as well look at context. Verses 1 and 2. Might as well start there. Philippians 1, we'll start in verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to y'all and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, period. So we will stop there in the reading, because why read further until we get through the first verb? Is that okay? Paul has this wonderful greeting, and then he says, before I say anything in this letter, I just want to let you know, I am so thankful to God. What a great way to start a letter. I'm so thankful. Today is all about thankfulness, and yes, it's not Thanksgiving, and no, you're not getting a Thanksgiving message on Thanksgiving. Today is whatever date it is, and this is all about Thanksgiving. In fact, we're going to spend a week in Thanksgiving. And it's going to be a lot of fun, Lord willing, to be thankful all week. No matter what goes on in your life today, we get to be thankful. I thank my God. Now, unfortunately, point number one is I thank my God. Why? Because these people remember Paul. These people remember Paul. Now, the difficulty in the phrasing here is that in my New King James, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. The difficulty here is that there's a prepositional phrase called epi, and epi here is I thank my God because I have tenacious remembrances of what you've done for me, and you always remember me. So in your outline, one of the reasons, there's three reasons why Paul is so thankful for this church. Reason number one is actually in verse 3b. I'm thankful to God. Why? Because you remember me. The verse sort of sounds like, I thank God because I remember you, and I'm thankful because I am remembering you. That's what it sounds like in our New King James. The reality is that I'm thanking God because you remember me. Isn't that crazy? But it's really not crazy when you think about it. Do you know how much you want to feel loved by people? I'm so thankful that you care for me. Like, really? I'm so thankful that you love me for who I am, for the gifts and the foibles and everything else in my life. I'm just so thankful that you remember me and you like me and that you love me occasionally. Don't you ever get that feeling every once in a while when you get that email that's so random from somebody and it's like, they thought about me. I never get emails from, and they didn't ask for anything. They just said, I just want to send something to let you know, I love you. I'm not thinking anything else. I don't want anything from you. I don't desire anything from you. No offense. I just thank you for who you are. Have you ever sent those emails out and you just feel so blessed by sending those emails out or the text messages or letters or whatever, and you just say, I just want to love on you. And it's so refreshing to receive those things, isn't it? It's so refreshing to just have, you know, I love you so much. You thought of me. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? Well, here Paul says, you know why I thank God so much for you in my life? Because you think about me. Don't we as husbands desire that in our wives? I'm so thankful for my wife. You know why? Because she thinks about me. I know. Oh, she thinks about me. You know why my wife was so grateful for me in her life? Because I think about her. And I let her know. Shouldn't we as brothers and sisters in Christ be so thankful for each other because we're on each other's minds, and we think about each other so regularly and often, and we thank God for each and every one of us. So that's point number one. I thank God because why? You think of me. You remember me. Now, verse 4, there's a parenthesis. Don't you love parentheses? There's a parenthetical thought. This isn't a why. Now, this isn't reason number 2 why Paul is so grateful for this church. This is actually a parenthesis to the verb. The only finite verb, by the way, in this entire passage is, I thank God. And everything else is a big run-on sentence. It's very challenging to read Pauline literature sometimes when he has run-on after run-on sentences. Lisa Sparazzo and I were talking before the service about how difficult it is to get verses to memorize for the Feasting Footsteps because Pauline literature is so run-on-ish. You almost have to memorize 18 verses. You know, it's like, well, can I have one or two? You know, but they're not broken up very well. Paul just, he rambles, you know, in his words, like some others do. I thank God, epi, because I am so tenaciously thankful that you tenaciously care for me, that you tenaciously give me remembrance and thanksgiving. I love that about you. You always think about me. I love that you're so tenacious, epi. You're so tenacious about that. But I thank God how? Before I get to point number 2, Paul says, let me tell you why I'm so thankful or how I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for you always, verse 4. I'm always thankful for you. And I'm always thankful for you in my prayers. And I'm always thankful for you in my prayers to all of you. And I'm always thankful to God in my prayers for all of you with joy. Now, some of you scholars might want to take verse 4 and make a sermon all by itself, unto itself. Why does Paul give thanks? Point number 1, he gives thanks always. Point number 2, he gives thanks always by way of his prayers. Number 3, he gives thanks in his prayers to all the people, not just a select few, not just a little group, to all of them. And fourthly, he does it with joy. There could be a little sermon right there in verse 4, but then, you know, it'd take us 3 years to get through Philippians. So we're going to go a little faster, but there's a little mini sermon inside the sermon, if you will. Paul is so happy to thank God always, at all times, in every circumstance, and he does it by way of his prayers. This is a unique word for prayer. This is actually the prayer for something that's lacking in your soul, something that's lacking inside of you. I'm so thankful to pray for you when you're lacking in something. It's really called intercessory prayer. I'm so thankful to lift you guys up in prayer when there's anything that you feel is lacking in your life. I'm happy to be there and be a part of that responsibility in your life. If there's anything lacking, we as a church ought to be there for everyone. Anything that's lacking, I'm so happy to do that, Paul says. I'm happy to do that with every single one of you. That word all becomes very important. And then, it's not like, oh yeah, okay, here comes Mr. Jones. He's got another prayer. Okay, Mr. Jones, what is it this time? It says with joy. We are so glad with joy to lift everyone's prayers up, to make our requests known to God and to thank God. So, it would read something like this. Verse 3, I thank God, verse 4, always for all of you at all times with all prayers, and I do it with joy. Why? Verse 3b. Because you tenaciously, so caringly remember me. You see how we're kind of going backwards a little bit to put it all into perspective? All right? So hopefully the verse starts making sense a little bit more. Verse 3, I thank my God will always, in every prayer of mine, always make your request for all of you, and I do it with such great joy. Why? Why do I have such great joy in my prayer? Why do I thank God? Number 1, because you remember me. And you do it with tenaciousness. You do it with tenacity. Yeah. Verse 5. 4. That word epi again comes up in the Greek. So not only do I thank God epi because you remember me. Now verse 5. I thank God epi because you have fellowship in the gospel with me. You fellowship with me in gospel activities. Not only am I thankful for you for being in my life and remembering me when I was down and remembering me when I was in the dumps. But you also, I'm thankful for you because you share with me. The idea of fellowship isn't just eating donuts. The idea of fellowship is actually participating in God's activities. Evangelism is actually part of fellowship. Missions is actually part of fellowship. We are co-participating with others in the work of ministry. Co-participating. That's the idea of fellowship. We're partnering together to do an activity. Hearts and Hands is a fellowship within the branch because we partner together and work together to do a ministry for others. So fellowship is much bigger than just eating, although, come on, it's a great thing to do together. Fellowship is more than just getting together and talking. Fellowship is co-participating together in a work or an activity that shows off Jesus. So I'm so thankful, Paul says, that you remember me, number one. Number two, that you have fellowship with me in the gospel. Now, you might want to write these down. The gospel is defined in many different ways in the book of Philippians. Gospel is defined as they share with them in the suffering. So gospel isn't just about presenting evangelism to someone. It's also us working together to get things done. And people look at us and go, wow, how could you guys do that together? Well, it's Jesus. And then we get to proclaim. So there's an element of when we're suffering together and we hang together. That's part of gospel activity. There's financial support. In Philippians, there are three different times that the church came together to support Paul in his endeavors as he was trying to go around Macedonia, down into southern Macedonia and Greece, and then over into Rome. So there's financial support that's there. Gospel just isn't about proclaiming. Gospel is also about providing. It's also about providing for others to do the work of ministry. So what we see in Philippians is this wonderful provisional ministry of gospel and wonderful proclamation ministry of gospel as well. And this church was all about providing and proclaiming with Paul in gospel activities. And the beauty of this is that there's 320 people in here today. There's 320 people in here today. And we all have different gifts. And so don't feel bad if maybe you're not the, you know, the gregarious guy out front that is like, you know, I'd really like to be a part of, you know, the evangelism ministry and like to take the sandwich board thing and go down, you know, but I really don't know if I really, that's my gifting and I don't know if I could really do that in front of people. So, but wait a minute, that's just one part of gospel. That's one, you know, because you might not have the gift of like speaking that in front of people doesn't mean that you're not involved in gospel activity that's going on. Even being there and praying while somebody is out sharing their faith. Shouldn't we have like a prayer team that go as well? And maybe they're not the ones that are out front doing all the work of evangelism, as it were, but they're sharing gospel by way of having a small team of three or four or more praying for the ones who are doing that work of ministry. Because maybe your gift isn't like sharing to the world, do you know if you're saved or not, if you're going to go to hell or heaven and wah! You know, maybe that's not your gift to do that at PB. I hear what he answered. So maybe your gift. Maybe your gift is to be a part of a prayer team that is so happy to be there with the ones who are doing whatever Lisa tells them to do. Whatever that is. Maybe you're the one giving away sandwiches and they're like, hey, so what's this all about? I don't know, go talk to them. All right, you get the point. I hope. We all have different gifts. Don't feel bad. Don't feel horrible sitting there thinking, oh, I can't be a part of that because I can't do. Well, what has God gifted you to do, and how can that be a part of gospel activity? That's all. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Paul is so grateful that not only do these people think about him, don't y'all want to be thought of? Are you in good ways? Don't y'all want to be thought of? Do people remember you? That's wonderful. Don't you want people to come alongside of what you're doing and say, I just want help doing this. Just give me some assistance. Give me some help in whatever that looks like. Does that make sense? Paul was so grateful for this church that they just came alongside and just did everything they could within their gifting to do so much for Paul and the gospel activities. Yes, number two, I am thankful for your co-participation, your fellowship in gospel activities from the first day until the right now. Two articles, the now and the first day. It's happening then, the first day Lydia got saved, Acts chapter 16, to right here, right now when I'm in prison. I just feel that love and co-participation in ministry activities. Number three, not only did they have activities, not only were the Philippian church involved with ministry activities, they were the ones who were remembering Paul and doing great things for Paul in the work of ministry. They were the ones who were participating with Paul in his activities. But then Paul thanks God for God's activity. Paul thanks God for God's activity, and that is, well, I'm confident this very thing, of course. And we all know the song, Steve Green, thank you very much for creating and writing and singing that song. He who began a good work, he who has begun a good work is what? Faithful to complete it. Complete it all the way to the very end. He's not faithful to complete it right here, right now, and then there's a gap. He's faithful to complete it all the way until day of Christ. He is faithful in your life to do that work in your life, and he will never let up. Well, when will he let up? When you're face to face with him. There's no gap in God's timing. He is faithful. Paul is so happy and so thankful to God because God is doing the work. So while he's promoting the Philippian church, I'm thankful that you remember me. I'm thankful that you just love me. I'm so thankful that you share with me. I'm not alone in this, but that you're there with me all the time. And you can make a lot of applications. I'm so glad I don't have to raise my kids on my own. I'm glad there's others around me that can help me raise my kids. And single moms, single dads, yeah, you're not alone. Yeah, I'm glad I have a wife, and I'm glad I have five children. I'm glad we're here together, and I'm glad for my wife, and I hope she's glad for me being there too, parenting and helping, assisting. But single moms, single dads, you've got a family to help. You've got a family to call on. You've got a family to ask for help. We're here. You're not alone in this. Don't feel alone. Applications can run wild. I'll keep moving. He who began that good work in you, it's not all in your strength. He who began that good work in you, he's going to be faithful to complete that work. He's going to be faithful with gospel ministry in your life. He's going to be faithful in evangelism. He's the one that's going to be faithful. Yeah, sometimes you don't feel like going to church. Sometimes you feel down. Sometimes you feel lonely. Sometimes you feel depressed. But you know what? God's doing a work in your life. And he'll always be faithful to complete that work. I would dare say that a congregation this size, there's probably 10% in here that didn't want to come this morning. Probably 10%, maybe more, that just kind of felt like, and it's okay. I mean, it's not okay to feel that way, but it's you got to be honest about those feelings. But you know what? You're here. God's going to be faithful despite the emotions, despite the things that happened this week. He promises to be faithful. He promises to be faithful in those gospel activities. He promises to be faithful in the encouragement. He promises to be faithful in all of those things. He will complete it. He promises to complete it. Now, he's not only faithful to start it, he's faithful to end it. I'm glad it says, I who began a good work am faithful to complete it. He says, he who began a good work is faithful to complete it. So there are three reasons here why Paul is so thankful. And he's thankful always. He's thankful to everyone. He prays for everyone. He does it with joy. Well, why is that? They always think of him, number one. They always remember him. Number two, they share and participate in gospel ministry, and that is so varied. And number three, well, he's thankful to them because God started something in their life and God's going to complete it in their lives. Yeah, just know that if you're young in the faith, and maybe you're 2-3 weeks in the faith, maybe you're a year old in the faith, maybe you're 30 years in the faith, God started a work at some point in your life and he will always be faithful to complete it. Never give up trusting God. So if that wasn't enough, his run-on sentence continues. So Paul's now going to take a breath, and he says simply this. I have the right to say this. Look what he says. Verse 7. Just as it is right for me to think of this of you all. In other words, he's saying, I have the right to say what I just said. I have the right to say, well, he sounds kind of, I don't know, sounds kind of haughty here a little bit, doesn't he? And I have the right to say this to you. I'm so thankful. I have the right to say that I'm thankful for you. But the terminology here is very different than I have the right to. Literally, it would be, do you know why I feel this way about you? Do you know why I think those thoughts about you? Do you know why I'm so... So he already said why he was thankful to God. He was thankful to God because they love him so much. Because they participate. Because God's doing this great work. And do you know why I have the right to say that? I'll just be honest with you. Do you know why I have the right to tell you that? This is a heartfelt now. These next three, kind of a double reason why Paul is so grateful here. These reasons now are very, very heartfelt. A guy who's sitting in prison in a 10 by 10 foot square, about 14 steps down. He goes to the bathroom in the corner and it stays there. Most people die of crazy natural bacteria, gross diseases. And he lives in that dank place. And he says, I'm so thankful for you guys. And I have the right to be thankful because I'm in this place that's not very good. And you're always there for me. And you always bring people along to encourage me. And you're not abusive at all. You don't need anything from me. You're just there to help me. And I'm so grateful that everyone takes advantages of me, Paul says. You are the only church that just gives and gives without anything coming back. You're so selfless. You know why I have the right to say all that? Because I love you so much. You notice he says, I have you in my heart. Remember the first one above? You know why Paul was so thankful? Number one, he said, you think of me. Here's the next set of three. Guess what he does? Do you know why I have the right to say that? Because I love you. Do you know why I can say what I said about my thankfulness? Because, man, just as much as you long for me and remember me, I'm doing the same back to you. I just love you so much. I have the heart and affection that I just love you guys. And I pour my life out to you and I'll do anything and everything for you. I have the right to be thankful to God because I love you that much. Man, that's a heartfelt prayer by Paul. So if we're looking at how Paul is doubly thankful, number one would be he's thankful because, well, he has the right to be thankful because he loves them so much. He has the heart for them. Number two, he says, I skipped a page. There we are. Just as it's right for me to thank you all of this, because I have you in my heart, well, I'm also in as much, I'm in chains. I am so thankful to you because I'm in bonds and chains, and I just know that you're here for me in all activities. I can't do much. I'm in chains. What I can do is pray for you. What I can do is try to minister to you in my own simple way. Do you know I have the right to be so thankful for God? Because I know where I'm at right now, and I'm in desperate need of God to help me, and I just love that you're here in my life. In fact, not only am I in bonds and chains, but I'm also doing something in gospel activity as well. Not only are they, remember number two above? They're involved in fellowship or the co-participation of the gospel. Look what he says in this number two below. He says, I'm doing gospel activities through you. I'm doing gospel activities. Paul's activity is one of doing gospel activity. And he uses two words, and they're two legal terms. He says, the gospel, I am doing this in defense and confirmation of the gospel. I'm defending gospel. Now, the best way maybe to get the idea of defending the gospel, because I think a lot of times we kind of come across as a defensive, you know, it's a word for defense, we're defending the gospel. And really, the word apologia is just simply, I am filling in gaps in someone's lack of what gospel really is. I'm filling the obstacles that are there, or I'm removing the obstacles that are there in someone's life. Apologetics is not fighting for the faith. Apologetics is filling the gaps of someone's lack of understanding the faith. Does that make sense? Apologetics is overcoming those obstacles and barriers of real faith. See, it doesn't have to be mean. It should be done in love then. Because we're just overcoming their barriers and obstacles of coming to salvation. It's not only overcoming barriers and obstacles. Apologia also means I'm filling in a gap in their life where they feel, so it's an affective thing. There are some people that intellectually say, well, that can't be true because of this, this, this. And they're very sort of scientific about gospel. They're scientific about creation. They're scientific about the faith. And so sometimes defense of the faith needs to be, well, let me remove those obstacles so you can see really what's going on. But then there's other times where it's a heart issue. I don't understand. It just doesn't feel right. I don't know. I guess I don't really have any reason why I don't trust God. I don't know. There's a heartfelt thing there. You know what I'm saying? It's not all about just removing obstacles. It's also about filling gaps in someone's heart. People have gaps in their heart when they're unsaved. They feel a longing. They feel a need. It's not being met by their own selves or what the world has to offer. And they can't quite understand how Jesus can fill that gap, that hole in their life. Apologia does that. Apologetics, defending the faith, does that. Defense isn't about fighting for the faith. Defense is about removing obstacles for those who kind of think more analytically, and also the ones who are maybe a little more emotional and just haven't given their hearts over to the Lord. We can fill that gap about who Jesus is for their life. Does that make sense? Paul is doing that in prison. God just brings people in his life to do that, to fill those gaps in people's lives and to kind of show them systematically about what gospel really is. Yeah, and somehow that Philippian church is a part of that. God, Paul is so thankful for this Philippian church. He's thankful to God because while Paul is where he is, he longs for them. He has a heart and affection for them. Number two, he's still doing gospel activity. He's so thankful for Philippian church because through their efforts, he's able to continue to promote gospel to them. You see the parallels of number one above and number one below? They're kind of parallel, aren't they? Number one, the church is longing for them, and Paul just loves that. Number one below is Paul's longing for them and has such a heart and passion and compassion for the church. Number two above, the reason why he's so thankful is that they're participating with Paul in the gospel. Number two below, Paul is actually participating with them in the gospel being in prison. And he's doing it by way of, number one, apologetics, removing the obstacles in the way and also filling the gaps that Jesus does. And number two, it says confirmation here in my Bible, and the New King James, the real inspired text. The confirmation of the gospel. This would be more like the advancement of the gospel. This is an outright, there's no obstacles in someone's life. There's no barriers. They just need to hear the proclamation of the gospel, and they're ready to receive, and they're ready to give their lives over to Jesus. There's an advancement. Both of those words are legal terms. One is like a plaintiff, being on the offensive, if you will, not being offensive, but on the offense. And then one is more of a defensive word. So the apologetic is more the defensive. Oh, you have an obstacle? Let me help you about those obstacles. A defendant. Let me share with you this side of it. Let me share with you the gaps that you're missing in your life and what Jesus can do. But then there's the plaintive side. I'm going to advance. I'm going to share with you what Jesus has done in my life. And I'm so happy to share with you. And at that point, it might turn into some obstacles and whatever. So I love both of those words when we see gospel. There are two elements of gospel that are very important. So not only is Paul thankful just because he loves the church, not only is Paul thankful because he gets to participate in gospel activities with them, number three, we get to be partakers together of God's grace. It's God's activity once again. Just like God's activity above says he who began that good work in you, God will be faithful to complete that work. And now he concludes on this number three that says we are partakers together of God's grace. Now, what is grace? Come on, say it louder. God's character. God's love, God's mercy, God's love, compassion, tenderness, tenderheartedness. 40 plus words describe God's grace. All in sense is about his character. It's his personhood. It's his loving qualities and characteristics. We get to partake together in sharing God's love. We get to share together in sharing the compassion of Jesus. We get to share together in all of the loving qualities and attributes to one another and to the world. But Paul is so grateful for those six things. And then at the end, his conclusion, verse 8, just simply says, it's a still run-on sentence, but I like in the New King James, they actually put a period there to just give us a step, you know. So he says, for God is my witness. I like that he says that because he just got done using two legal terms. Yeah, Paul, he's so great when he uses words like this. You know, I am so excited to be a part of gospel ministry where I get to be the plaintiff and the defendant all at the same time. I'm playing offense and defense on my team. This is wonderful. Yeah, so as God is my witness, right hand, yeah, as God is my witness, guess what? I just want to conclude by saying, as God is my witness, I just long for you. That word greatly long is a little bit of a challenging word. It has a root of sympathy to it. He sympathizes, but the idea of longing for someone takes a little bit further. By the way, this is an epi preposition. So he starts at the beginning with the epi prepositions. He has tenacity for these people. The people have tenacity for him. Now we end with another epi preposition that says, I greatly long for you. This word is an athletic term of the runners who, and I don't know how to do this, so bear with me. The runners who are going towards the finish line. I just see it on slow motion every once in a while, you know, and it's like they look like this, you know. I mean, they're just reaching and stretching for the finish line, you know what I mean? I hope you all know what I'm talking about because I'm feeling foolish. When I was Years ago when I was researching and studying this, I always thought of Eric Little in Chariots of Fire. All right, you remember Chariots? And it's the... Right? I mean, he's just... He's longing. I mean, I don't know. He feels so much love by his running. He feels God's presence when he's doing. There's Paul. He just longs for these people. He longs for them. He is just stretching himself to as far as he can to be with the people. He's just stretching. I just long for you. And what is the baseline of his longing? What is the baseline? What's the object of this? What's the standard? We can all long for each other, but he goes further to say, I long for you in the same way that Christ longs for you. Oh, wow. First of all, do we understand how much Christ longs for us? That word affection, splotnos. Affection, heart, liver, guts. I long for you with the guts of Jesus. I long for you with God's heart and his liver and all the things that makes, in a sense, God operate internally. You know what I'm saying? All the things that cause you to exist. Take your heart away. Do you exist? Take your liver away for a while. You're going to last long? All of those innards, if you will, not intestines, okay? The heart, the functioning organs inside. That's the Greek word. Paul longs for this church just like Jesus longs for you. How does Jesus long for you? With his heart. If you take Jesus' heart away, does that make sense loosely in the analogy? You take the heart away from someone, they don't exist. Everything that Jesus is, Paul says, I long for you in that regard. Equal amounts. However much Jesus loves you, I can honestly say how much I love you. That much. I will do anything for you. I will do everything for you. I know how much Jesus loves you, how much he cares for you, how much grace he has bestowed to you, and I'm just so happy to do like-minded in that same way. That's a lot of love. That's a lot of care. And that's why that word epi is so important here. That preposition that says, I long for you, I am tenacious about this. And from a wordplay, of course, it's great that he starts by saying, I thank God that you're so tenacious for me. I'm so grateful that you're so tenaciously in the participation of my work and fellowship and ministry. And God's doing this work in your life. It's not us. It's God doing that. He's going to be faithful to complete it in you. And I can say that. I have the right to say that. You know why? Because I love you just as much back. And I'm doing tons of ministry, but I don't feel like I'm doing it on my own. You're with me doing that. Whether I'm the plaintiff or whether I'm the defendant, you're in it with me together. I just long for you so much, and we're partakers of grace together. And I long for you with the kind of love and loyalty that Jesus has for us. That's an amazing kind of love. Do you feel that way today? Do you feel that you have received that kind of love today? That in this church, in this body, you can feel free to share and be yourself and share the concerns, and no one's going to look down at you. And instead, we'd give you a big hug and embrace you and say, let's pray, it'll be okay. I love you just as much as Jesus does. Now, let me give you an opposite. So we just read all the positives here. So it's a one run-on sentence, so it's a little challenging. So I hope that makes sense. Does that make sense? Let me restate it positively. Here we go. Ready? Verse 3. I thank God. I thank God always. For every time I pray, I always make requests for all of you, not anyone, and I do it with joy. So I thank you with that in mind, because you tenaciously think of me so much and love me. I thank you for that. I thank you that there are people in my life that just love me and for who I am. I'm also thankful that you tenaciously have fellowship and co-participate with me in gospel activities. And you'll never stop doing that. And speaking of never stopping, God's doing this work and he's never going to stop. God's doing the work. Don't let us think we're doing it. God's doing this thing in you and through you and for you and to you and all those other prepositions. And I can say that. Do you know why I have the right to say that? Because I love you so much. I just care for you so much. And I'm in chains, yes, but I am doing gospel with you. Thanks for doing gospel with me, but I'm doing it with you. And I'm there defending, and I'm there just showing Jesus off every way I can. And we together are partakers in God's grace. And so as God is my witness, God, I just greatly long for you. I long to be with you. I long to just share. I long to eat with you. You know, I long to have drink with you that's not in this prison. I long to just be with you and have fellowship and co-participate in God's activities. And I'm doing that just as much as Jesus does. As much as Jesus loves you, I love you just as much. Unfortunately, though, there's some in here that might not feel maybe that that's you. So let me read the antithesis of what this might look like, okay? Here's the antithesis. Here's the opposite. If Paul were kind of in a negative, sorry state, this is what it would sound like. I'm really not a thankful person. In fact, I don't really pray much, if at all. I don't really feel like praying. And I don't really sense a lot of joy in my life right now. I really don't recall or remember anything anyone does for me. Maybe they are, but I certainly don't feel like it. I feel like I'm alone, that no one really does remember me. I don't really see any of us moving together. I don't feel myself moving together with anybody in a like-minded way. In fact, I feel like I'm alone, that I'm trying to do the things of the Lord, but I certainly am not doing it with anybody, and I don't feel any fellowship. To be honest, if I'm going to be honest about it, I don't really know how confident I am with God. I mean, I love God, but I'm not sure that I'm really confident. I know he began a good work in me, but sometimes I wonder if he's going to continue the work in me. Have I lost out on something? Have I done some crazy sin that's not going to allow me to let me finish the race strong? I mean, when you're talking, Pastor, I don't really feel like what you were saying is really me. I don't feel the joy. I don't feel the confidence. I don't even feel like sometimes God is doing the work now in my life. Why do I think this way? Why do I feel that way? Why do I have the right to say that, honestly? Because I don't feel like I'm really loving anybody. I'm trying to figure out my own life. And if I can't figure out my own life, then how can I figure out anybody else's? I long for a relationship. I long to be loved. I long to be needed. I long to be valued. I mean, if I can't figure God out, then how am I going to share in gospel activities with anybody else? I wish I had people in my life that I could share with. I wish I could share with people my hurts and my... Do you know how hard it is to be vulnerable? And we can sit here and have fellowship as a body, but then we leave here, and we're in the courtyards together, or we're right here. Do you feel alone? I mean, we could be here as a group right now, but do you feel alone? Well, I'm not trying to make anybody on a guilt trip or feel guilty, but we got to be honest. Paul, this is an amazing passage about how thankful Paul is. And I think I'd be totally remiss just to blow off the other side of it. Paul is so thankful for all of these reasons. But let's be honest, some of us just aren't there right now. There's things and hurts. There's some trials and there's some difficulties. And we feel alone sometimes. Not everyone. There's a lot of us that have so much joy in here. That's great. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad. A lot of us have joy. But let's be honest, if we don't, let's share that. Do I dare ask with everyone's eyes open, how many people, what I just read, the antithesis of it, feel that way? How many people honestly just feel like a little bit of that? Maybe not 100%. Okay, no one's going to look at you like you're an idiot or a downer. Come on, just raise your hands. I want to see your hands. Everyone look around you. Keep your hands up. Everyone look around you. My hand's up too, by the way. My hand's up too. Do you ever feel that time in your life where sometimes it's just not 100% of what Paul is saying here in verses 3 through 8? It's okay. Because we know the answer. We know the solution. We can go right to God. And we have a body here that will pray and be a part of the healing that needs to happen. Because there's a... Now, how many people feel immense joy? And so like, yeah, immense joy. How many people feel immense joy? Seriously. Come on, wife, raise your hand. I know you feel joy. I know you do. Like,
yeah.
You know? It's not supposed to be a downer. There are people in here I know that have immense joy. Well, guess what we get to do with that? Share. Co-participate and be around those that maybe don't feel quite as joyful. Here are seven qualities in this set of verses that the church is. Ready? The church is of thankfulness. The church is of prayer, which our senior pastor, Chuck Allers, will deal with next week. Prayer, verses 9 through 11. Senior pastor. Seven qualities. Number one, the church is a church of thankfulness. The church is a church of prayer. So when someone comes up to you in about 5 minutes from now, hey, can I pray for you? No. Ha! We're a church of prayer. I'm going to pray for you right now. You understand that? We're a church of prayer, and I'm going to pray for you right now. Do you want to know? We're a church of prayer. We're a church of joy. I will do this with joy, he says. We're a church of evangelism. In all of its facets, in all of its ways, we are a church that shares gospel. We're a church that offers financial support. That's what this church does. That's what we do. We are a church, no matter what, that sticks together. Sticks together. Even through difficult times, we will never let go of one another. We're tenacious. I know some of you are very tenacious. We will never let go. And lastly, we are a church that has deep and sincere love for everyone. Ready for this?